Hello, my name is Mariam Patu, and I would like to welcome you to another amazing episode of Culture Shorts. To mark the end of National Volunteering Week, we decided to interview Kasia Rokoska, who is the placement officer at Dublin City North Volunteer Centre. Kasia works hand in hand with both volunteers and organizations looking for volunteers, so we caught up with her to find out about how her organization balances the volunteering two-way stream. But first, here is a song, Satellite of Love by Lou Reed.
Satellites gone up to the skies. Things like that drive me out of my mind. I watched it for a little while. I like to watch of love.
That was Lou Reed with Satellite of Love. Now, let's get talking to Kasia.
With me here is Kasia Rokoska, who is the Outreach Placement Officer at Dublin North City Volunteer Centre. Thank you very much, Kasia, for talking to us today.
You're very welcome.
Okay, Kasia, I'm going to ask you about your role in the organisation, but could you tell us about the organisation first?
Of course. So the Dublin City North Volunteer Centre is the oldest volunteer centre in Ireland. It was set up in 1997, and back then it was actually Volunteering Ireland. That was the function of Volunteering Ireland. They were a volunteer centre. They were trying to help people find volunteering. Okay. And when there was more and more demand for people to volunteer and more people wanted to get involved, the organisation started growing. So we would work in Dublin 1, Dublin 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, 17 and parts of Dublin 13 as well.
Okay, Volunteer Ireland, interesting. Where is the headquarters?
The headquarters is in Temple Bar. It's on Eustace Street.
Oh,
in
so
Temple
it's
Bar.
In Dublin.
Yeah. It is in Dublin, yes.
Okay, great. Kasia, what is your role in here?
Mm-hmm. I am the Outreach Placement Officer with the Volunteer Centre, which really what that role involves is mostly promoting volunteering. Mm-hmm. So part of my work is to do presentations in the community, within the community groups, but also schools. We would go out and have talks on volunteering, PowerPoint presentations on volunteering, trying to get people involved. Mm-hmm. I would also meet people one-to-one when they're coming into the office, mm-hmm. or I would meet them in the libraries or in the local partnerships. So I suppose that's the main roles. And as well, it is about supporting as much as it is about supporting volunteers. It's mm-hmm. about working with organizations as well. So we would have one-to-one sessions with volunteer coordinators, for example. If they needed some sort of advice on volunteer management, mm. we would go along to those meetings. And we also organize volunteer management training, which is a 4 modules course as well. That's for organizations. So I suppose, yeah, we work with volunteers, but also with organizations.
That is interesting. You get to work in the office and also outside, yeah. and I think it is so much fun to
it
do.
It is.
What is the procedure for signing up? Say somebody wants to volunteer.
Mm-hmm. If people want to volunteer, probably the easiest and the quickest way is just to go on our website, mm-hmm. www.volunteerdublincitynorth.ie. It's a long one, I know.
Looking at the profile, are more people volunteering or less, and what kind of people maybe?
Mm-hmm. So definitely in the last couple of years since the recession hit, we've seen increase in the numbers of volunteers, in the numbers of people who register on the website because they're interested in volunteering. And naturally as well, a lot of those would be unemployed people mm-hmm. or people who maybe became redundant a little bit earlier, so they went for earlier retirement or they took retirement schemes. this is the sort of people that we certainly see increase, even people dropping into the office when we talk to them one-to-one. Very often they're unemployed, they're anxious to do something because you know, they're looking for work, the work is not there. They maybe do some courses, which is great, but they also realize that they need experience. And I think it is very competitive at the moment, the work market, and people who have some sort of experience, volunteering experience on their CVs are going to be probably more attractive for future employers than people who, let's say, were not really getting involved in any sort of role. So they, you know, if you volunteered, you showed that you've been proactively looking for something. You were the one to go out and maybe try to find some sort of involvement, being that for getting new skills, but also just to meet new people, get out of house, for your mental health. I think volunteering can be such a great way of actually changing the scenery. Rather than sitting at home, you actually go out and, and you meet people and you make contacts, you make friends. And that is so important. And I think particularly with unemployed people, people who find themselves one day without job and they've been working all their lives. And they always tell me that it's so difficult. It can be so devastating.
Okay.
And volunteering is a nice way for them to keep involved.
It is indeed. We cannot let those skills they have go to waste while there are organizations that may be needing them. Though, are there qualifications that are needed, say maybe a set of skills that people need to have for them to sign up for volunteering? Remember you said signing up is really easy, it's not such a big job. But are there any skills that are needed to do that?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Signing up for volunteering is very easy, but taking that to the next step, which means applying for roles and maybe contacting organizations, that can vary. Okay, so some roles would require special skills. To give you an example, if an organization is looking for a website designer, if you don't have those skills, naturally, you're not going to help them. So therefore, they're looking for a website designer or IT person or someone experienced in marketing. Okay, but there are some sort of roles, and here we have roles befriending, working with older people, younger people. Those roles, usually they don't require any sort of skills apart from, you know, good communication skills and willingness to work with older people or young people or children or maybe people with disabilities as well. They're quite open for really anyone who is maybe interested, a little bit passionate maybe about working with people, and those roles are open really for anyone and everyone. So the other type of roles, if I can give you an example, gardening. There are some roles that would be a very sort of easy gardening, okay, wouldn't necessarily require any skills, and probably I could do that, even though I know nothing about gardening. But those would be the roles that kind of group activities. Again, you're coming along, you're giving a hand, if it's painting or decorating or gardening, small tasks that really anyone can do, you know, if they don't mind getting their hands dirty, you know.
Right. God, I wish I could sit here all day and hear this, because this is so interesting. And you mentioned working with older people and young people, and then I think you did say that they need, well, you didn't say now, but I think before when we spoke about gutter vetting, and that can take a while.
Yes, it is, you're right. It is required to be gutter vetted if you work with vulnerable adults, including older people, children, people with disabilities. Now, the good news is that gutter vetting process takes a bit less. It is around, on average, it's around a month.
Really?
Okay, on average. Now, obviously, there might be some special checks that people need to go through. If you're maybe from a different country, that might take a little bit longer. But definitely, the time is shorter than it was the last time when we spoke. So this is a great news. And as well, I suppose, on this note, because you've mentioned younger and older people, it is important to say that this year, 2012, was designated by European Union as a year of active aging and intergenerational activities. So really what it is about, it's about bringing older people, getting them to volunteer, but also maybe creating a platform where older people can exchange their experience with younger ones.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of our activities throughout the year are going to focus on this, on that sort of activities there.
Okay, I know you've mentioned about that, well, anyone who has an interest or certain some time in their hands, really they can volunteer, donate their time to, mm-hmm. to help those who may need it. Are there specific people that say cannot volunteer? I think really volunteering is open to everyone. Is there people that cannot volunteer?
I suppose it depends on the role that they want to volunteer. I think people need to be really realistic about what they are able doing, what mm-hmm. they're capable of doing, what skills they have, okay?
Mm-hmm.
For example, what we would try to promote is volunteering for everyone. So therefore, a lot of outreach that we would do would be maybe with organizations that are working with homeless people. People who might have experienced homelessness and now they're ready to maybe give back to the society.
Mm-hmm.
They're really amazing volunteers.
Yeah.
They really do. They're so passionate about the work they do. So it is to say for everyone. Now, obviously, Garda vetting might be sometimes an issue and people mm-hmm. are asking, you know, what if there was something in my past, you know, a couple of years ago or 10 years ago, something that will come back on my Garda vetting form.
Mm-hmm.
And what we would then... It is nice to have that one-to-one support, because when we are discussing what really that was, what
mm-hmm.
sort of maybe offense or what sort of difficulties they were going through in the past, on the basis of that, then I can kind of point them in the right directions. So sometimes it might not be really suitable to work with young people and children, but maybe working with animals. And some people are really passionate about
mm-hmm.
that. Some practical roles that wouldn't necessarily maybe require to be with children, you know, unsupervised, to have unsupervised access to children. But maybe some other roles, you know, maybe helping in the kitchen or maybe helping with the garden.
Yeah.
So there are alternatives. I would say that everyone can find really something, you know. It's just, to be realistic about what I can do and what is available there for me. So therefore, probably the best thing is just to contact their volunteer center, because we will be able to give them the right direction before they start contacting organizations, and maybe organizations will say, oh well, actually not, no, that you wouldn't suit to this role. So
mm-hmm.
it's good to have all that knowledge before you probably go out and start contacting organizations.
I should be able to share this with my friends, because I have friends that would think
mm-hmm.
that they don't qualify to volunteer.
Yeah.
I have friends that are away, asylum seekers.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people that are disabled, and I was just wondering, asking on their behalf, are they volunteering
yeah.
if they can?
Of course,
do it?
Absolutely. As an asylum seeker, you are entitled to volunteer. No problem whatsoever. So therefore, probably now once a month we go to Balceskin Reception Center and we talk to people about volunteering. We try to get them involved. Obviously, because of the nature of temporary accommodation in Balceskin, we would advise people to get involved in short-term opportunities. But that is also a great way of meeting new people, of just getting out and meeting Irish people whilst they're here. Also, people with disabilities, we would work closely with St. Michael's House, just to give you an example, and that's a place for people with intellectual disabilities.
Mm.
And we would have volunteers coming in here helping us in the office. We would have volunteers that we send to other organizations.
Mm.
That's just to say that really everyone has something to offer.
Great. Okay. I think I'm going to ask you about the benefits of volunteering, which a lot of people know. But like you just mentioned that I think it also helps when it comes to closing those gaps that people may be having while waiting maybe for their applications on this and that. So maybe volunteering can help close those
mm-hmm.
gaps so they can be able to get back into work, which is a great initiative. And what are other benefits of volunteering, both for the person that is
mm-hmm.
looking for voluntary work and the organization?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, volunteering, first of all, it is volunteering is a two-way process.
Mm.
So you give
yeah.
a lot. You give your time, you give your energy, you give your skills,
mm-hmm.
and you take back so much. Your experience, you meet new people, you become more confident, you're more, I suppose it is very empowering for you as an individual to get involved in volunteering. So I suppose on that personal level, it is actually, you know, talking to people, they're always saying that what they get back is sometimes they can't find words to describe that,
mm-hmm.
Because they're just flourishing. They're just getting so many new skills and things that they maybe have never done before. Now they are doing this, and they're, you know, maybe I don't know, sending emails or being able to, you know, maybe do some marketing campaign or whatever that is. So they discover new skills. So that is very, very, I think, empowering for a person. Obviously, volunteering as well helps you to, I think, to kind of stay in touch with the work environment,
mm-hmm.
particularly going back to what you said, for unemployed people, it not only helps them to get the experience and fill the gaps, but also it keeps up the routine of going to work,
yeah.
Waking up in the morning, waiting for something that is going to happen during the week. There's something that the people are looking forward to doing. So obviously that aspect, but also just purely a feeling of doing something good. I mean, we are all human beings, and we do like to feel good about ourselves. And volunteering is really one of those things that doesn't cost anything. But it's so easy to maybe make someone else smile. And that's really what you're getting back. You're getting back that smile and much more. And from the point of view of organizations, I suppose particularly nowadays when organizations are struggling financially quite a lot, having volunteers who are giving their free time is absolutely fantastic,
mm-hmm.
and really some of the services are actually going ahead just because there is enough volunteers to come in and give them a hand, and organizations are keep saying that now, that, you know, they really appreciate people, particularly people who might have skills that they are looking for, if there is a really good match with the skills and organization's needs, that's probably the ideal situation. So it's as I said, it's a both ways process.
Yeah, but I was just thinking as you spoke, and I'm thinking that looking at maybe the current economic climate, do you think that could cause organizations to turn some of the paid positions to voluntary positions?
I don't think so. And to explain you why, volunteering is, first of all, the volunteering we promote is a couple of hours per week, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you are not able to replace a full-time staff with someone who is just dropping in maybe for 8 hours per week, even. Let's say 10, okay?
Mm.
That's still not a full-time position. And the nature of volunteering is, and the reality is, that people come and go.
And that's a hassle to say in an 8-hour role to put like 4 people in one position.
Yes, but it is, well, I just don't think it's going to work long term, because the nature of volunteering is that if people come in and they're happy and they volunteer for a while, but then, you know, they find employment, they will move on because they need to accept it. Okay. So therefore, organizations are aware of that as well, that volunteers will come and they will try to make them really welcome and maybe keep them and try to encourage them to stay with organizations. But really the reality is that that it is very flexible, and so organizations are used to that. Now a lot of organizations are looking for interns as well, but that wouldn't be really what we promote. We kind of hear more about volunteering, giving something back to your community a couple of hours per week, and so that's the sort of voluntary work we would promote. So no, I would say it would be very challenging to replace people through volunteers.
Okay, I have 2 last questions for you. Is there a way you make sure that maybe, say, volunteers are not taken advantage of in some organizations,
yeah,
something like that?
Yes, I suppose the way we work, when people register with us, mm-hmm. we do keep in touch with them. So once you register on the website, mm-hmm. you can apply for the roles, but we will, at least you will receive 2 phone calls from us. Okay, mm-hmm. We follow up with emails. We keep in touch with people throughout the year, letting them know about the volunteering events and information mm-hmm. evenings. Okay, and we always say that we welcome feedback. And we do sometimes have phone calls from people who would like to share with us mm-hmm. their not so positive experience. Mm. And if we have those sort of phone calls, we then get on to organizations and okay. we would try to talk to them and see that maybe they need to change something around the way they work, that maybe the management system for volunteers they have in place is not working. Maybe try to invite them for volunteer management training. Mm-hmm. So we that do keep great. In touch, and people... I think because we get those phone calls from time to time, I think people feel comfortable with sharing this with us. They wouldn't necessarily maybe like to face the organization mm-hmm. themselves, but this is very valuable feedback for us. So we always really appreciate that. And obviously a person stays anonymous as well.
Yeah, it's great for people to know they have support whenever they need
it. Exactly.
And the last question is, do you think it's a good idea to involve young people in volunteering, and... Why is that so?
Yeah. It would be actually ideal if every single young person in Ireland wanted to volunteer, simply because this is where the education starts. I mean, mm-hmm. if you're young and if you're involved, let's say, in Scouts, I think there is part of you that has this kind of community spirit of you know, getting involved with your community, getting involved with your neighbours, organising events with your neighbours. Knowing your neighbors, I think it's so easy in our society to kind
keep
of to keep separated and keep you know, very distance. And I think the whole spirit of volunteering is about actually bringing people to their communities, linking them with the communities. Even the sign here on the wall, we actually put that for ourselves, but our mission statement is that everyone in Dublin City North feels connected to their local community through volunteering. And I think if you're a young person, the younger you are, the easier then it is. It kind of, I think, becomes natural for you then to get involved in your local society. Mm-hmm. So we would try to go to schools as much as we can. So if there are any teachers listening to us, it would be nice to, if you contact us, we'd be happy to come in and have talks on volunteering as well.
It would be great indeed. And I was also going to say to people that are maybe listening and they would like to volunteer, I'm sure you're always looking for volunteers, and are there areas that maybe you don't really get a lot of volunteers? Like, say there are certain areas where people are more interested in volunteering and some are missing out on volunteers, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe you can...
Yeah, I think the ones that I would say they're a bit left out would be campaigning and awareness raising. Mm. They're really, really nice roles with various organizations who are campaigning for human rights mostly. Now that can, you know, human rights is a big, big thing. So you would have maybe organizations campaigning for human rights in other countries, in Iraq or in African countries. You might have organizations campaigning about mental health issues.
Yeah.
There is a lot of work involved with that. I mean, campaigning would be as well organizing events and maybe lobbying your TDs, local TDs, local politicians. But they're really fascinating and really interesting roles for people to get involved. And I sometimes feel that people don't see it as very that attractive, you know, whilst I think it's a really nice way of getting educated as well in the topic if you're really interested in something.
Yeah. I think they will never know unless they try. Like
exactly.
Now that you said it, somebody may say, oh, that is interesting. Mental health is something that can affect anybody.
Anybody,
so,
anytime,
yeah,
absolutely.
If you have time to just go and pop in and see.
Exactly, get and join your local mental health group and see what's going on. So I suppose that would be the one of those. And then organizations are always looking for fundraisers, so this is the one category that they're always craving for people to help. And again, in fundraising, it doesn't always mean you have to shake the bucket on the street. It's backpacking, it's helping with organizing events, it's selling chocolates for organizations. So there's all sorts of funny things that can be done as well. So,
but which one tops the list? Which one everybody likes to go to? I'm dying to know that.
Mm. I don't know if there is one.
Because I think if I'm there, I would try to go and try to learn where there are less people, you know, just to learn something new.
Yeah. Well, I suppose older people, younger people will be the popular ones, and practical work. Funny enough, people like to do some hands-on work, particularly
sports.
Exactly, things like that. So
thanks.
Active.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Kasia. If there are people out there that would like to volunteer, how can they get hold of you?
Yeah, they can check our website, which is www.volunteerdublincitynorth.ie. They can give us a call. Our number is 01-872-2622. All the information is available on the website, step by step on how to get involved in volunteering. But please give us a call as well if you need more information.
Thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, Eminine.
Thanks for listening, and thank you to our guest, Kasia Rokoska of the Dublin City North Volunteer Centre. Tune in to Culture Shorts each week from 6:30 to 7 p.m. And to listen back to past episodes, simply log on to www.nearpodcast.org/cultureshorts.
The content and views expressed in this program are those of the participants alone and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of POBL, the Office for the Promotion of Migrant Integration, or the European Commission.
This project is co-financed by the European Commission under the European Integration Fund and is supported by the Office for the Promotion of Migrant Integration in the Department of Justice and Equality and POBL.